Podcasting 2.0 for October 16th, 2020. This is episode number 7. Tag, you're it.
Woo. That was a good one.
End of the week. Once again, Adam Curry, along with the man with the coat of gold, Diamond Dave Jones, everybody. I'm giving you your WWE entrance, man. Come on. Take it.
I don't know what you're going to do with this stuff when you start. I'm like, tag your it. That's radio gold, baby.
Hey, here we are. It is the 16th. It's a Friday, another week, and time for another meeting of the board of directors of podcastindex.org. Since we conduct all our business on the show, it's where we update each other on the past 7 days. And now it's just been busy in general for me. I think you've had a pretty busy week too, right, Dave?
Yeah. It's been crazy. It's been full. I mean, I was telling you a while ago, I've got like a desk full of paper here. I mean, there's just so much crap to talk about. I mean, this may be like a freaking 3-hour show. I don't know.
No, that's okay. Tina has a friend over on the deck, so I'm gold, man. I was gonna hide here anyway.
That intro music is like emotionally confusing.
Really? Really?
What happens is you have this killer intro music, and then we read a namespace sentence by sentence.
Hey, who said tech couldn't be sexy, man? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm waiting for one of the rock guys to put, or maybe the country guys to put together a song with, you know, namespace tags. It can be done.
Well, I thought all week, I'm like, okay, how can we make this episode even more boring than last week's episode? And I thought, okay, we can talk about JSON.
Yo, all righty then.
So, like, I mean, that sounded this is a masterclass in how to shrink your audience size.
That's right. Yeah, let's keep it as small as possible. Dave, tight.
Yeah.
What a really tight audience. It's like
those Apple in-show stats where it shows you, it's like they just roll off.
Flatline. No, it's flatline. Yeah. It's flatline.
They're gone already.
We're not even on Apple. I never resubmitted once we got the artwork. I guess I should, you know, it's almost out of my mind, weirdly enough. And for me, I still use Overcast because I'm kind of stuck for the security features on iOS, and I'm using an Apple iPhone 7, which I use around the house because I need speed when this kind of stuff we're doing.
Overcast still works on the 7?
Yeah, it works great on the 7. And the 7 is really the lowest number that will support the Bluetooth spec for my hearing aids. That's really the main reason, you know, because I can stream everything to my hearing aids. So I can be talking to you, but I could have classical music going on in the background. Or if I, you know, jump into a podcast, then jump on a call. I mean, I constantly basically have earbuds in, but I don't know they're in because they're so small and lightweight.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool problem to have.
It's actually, you know, just being an audio guy, because I have direct access to 32 channels of compressor limiter across the spectrum for my hear. So I have a podcast sound on my hearing aids.
That's insane. My dad wears hearing aids, and it's like, I mean, it took him forever to get, he started wearing them years ago, and it took him forever to get the stuff dialed in right. And they never were right. And it's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, but these are not your dad's hearing aids.
Yeah.
You know, this new stuff, I've got dual quad processors hanging off of each ear. Not kidding. It's ASIC. You know, they got specific chips just to do this. They've zero latency.
Can you mine Bitcoin with them?
Except your ears get warm. That would be cool. Just while you're walking around, what are you doing? I'm mining Bitcoin.
Adam, your ears your left ear smoking.
Ah, looks like a coin's about to drop. Exactly. Exactly. So just taking a moment here, Dave. We're episode 7, really only 2 months that we've been doing this. Yeah. Congratulations to you on how expertly you have steered and commandeered and just, you know, it's like everybody loves Dave. And I like seeing that you have a very good way, because, you know, open source projects can be very, you know, I've been a part of a couple of them. We all know how they can go, but this is just great. And I think a lot of it has to do with such a pent-up energy and enthusiasm from people who have been working in, I'm going to say it, the podcast space.
No.
For, I had to say it.
Please don't.
You know, for a while, and it's like a cork. And I was like, plop. And there's just this bubbling champagne spraying over everything. I love seeing it. I do too. It's really, go ahead.
Go, play. You got the clips?
Mm-hmm.
I do. This is perfect. Do ISO 5.
ISO 5.
Podcasts are cool.
Yes, they are. They're super cool.
That is from the podcast we just lost.
Oh no! Who did we lose? Lost
another one. Just Break Up is the name of this podcast. So
just
we lost them to Spotify.
Oh, they got a deal in there, and they're done. That's it.
Huh. Yeah, I want to talk about them. I've got some clips from them. I want to talk about them. I think we need to talk about some namespace stuff first, but I want to talk about that because I think we've it's worth analyzing what.
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing. To make matters worse, let's not talk about the cool chicks. Let's talk namespace first. Way to go, Dave.
Look, it's what everybody's been waiting for.
Okay? I know.
Everybody's been waiting for it. We can't talk about the fun things. We have to talk about the boring stuff.
Exactly. Well, I find it fascinating. And of course, I've been following along at podcastindex.social. Love the interaction, love all the ideas. And I see a lot of good ideas on both sides. And then all of a sudden, I see stuff that like gets implemented. And then I'm just, oh, holy crap, what just happened here? Did we just do in a week? Because literally, we announced the namespace last week, didn't we?
Yeah, it was last week's show. Yeah.
So within it 1 week, Friday. We already have some adoption of the concept.
Not just the concept, but adoption of the actual, implementation of the actual tags are happening right now. So we got two tags formalized.
Maybe I should just back up if people are just joining the podcast and haven't listened from the beginning.
If you don't know what RSS is or a namespace is, just go ahead and turn it off.
Or just fast forward to the cool chicky bit, which is coming up later.
Yeah, that's a better idea. Yeah, do that.
What was missing, what was stagnating within podcasting for a decade or more was some extended features, extensibility, and a lot of heroes and valiant efforts have been put on the battlefield to get some form of industry adoption. And I would say mainly that would depend upon buy-in from Apple, particularly, and their new players on the scene. And, you know, there's a lot of organizations have been working on this and trying this. And I think that we just came in and said, I think we're going to do this. And instead of being governing bodies or it's really just people with their hands in the mud. And we just said, why don't we just give this a shot? And then all of a sudden we heard all these things about features people had working in their own environments or had been wishing for every year. And, you know, Santa Claus, bring me this tag. And we just said, well, what if we just put it all in there and we make everybody happy? And we have an index which replicates what all the other guys are doing there, like Apple. And why don't we give it a shot? I think you were telling me that, you know, everything outside of Apple and Spotify or who else is 40% of the market, maybe more, but whatever
Apple it is. Apple has like 60-something percent of the podcast player market.
Could be. Wouldn't surprise me.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Right. Well, but there's a lot that's outside. I'll take 40% any day.
Heck yeah! I mean, it turns out when you open up a namespace and just say, "Hey, everybody, here's a spec to get us started." And it starts off with just the things that everybody already said they want.
Right.
Then it turns out people want more things also.
Yes.
And it also turns out that people have really good ideas.
No kidding.
And they just need a place to write them down in public and discuss them. And it's really not any more complicated than that. And as far as, you know, my role in this, you know, of course I've got ideas too, and I'm a participant like everybody else, but my sort of overseeing role is really just chaperoning the whole thing. And to be a tiebreaker if something you know, if people can't come to a decision, but there's really nothing, it's not more involved than that. I mean, everybody knows generally what is needed and what they want. It's just working out some of the details. And what we've been doing, you know, we have been trying to be guided by Dave Weiner's Rules for Standards Makers, which I think is sort of Asimov's three laws of robotics for this type of process.
And I completely agree. And I'm glad you posted that at the, on the Mastodon, because I reread it. I'd seen it, of course. I'd lived it to a degree with him. And I understand it much better now. And just to go back to what you said, we don't quite have the same dog in the hunt as every other player that's tried to do this. And when I say player, I mean like, you know, party or whatever. We're coming at it from a very different standpoint. I don't have anything necessarily that I need from hosting. I mean, I'm happy with everything. Will I ever use transcripts or transcripts? Yeah. Will I make them? No, I don't know how to do that. You know, will it be easy for someone to flip me a URL and all of a sudden I got transcripts in an app? I'd be delighted, over the moon.
You know, that'll happen. Yeah. That's going
to
happen.
That's what I think too. And so to me, it's just, you know, it's like we had nothing to defend. We had only to gain. It's like, we're here for you. This is the whole point, is to preserve podcasting as a platform for free speech. Means we can have our own little definition of how we do that. The first one is, gee, here's a thought. Let everybody have free speech and let's free speech ourselves into a namespace.
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, I think that there's been, this stuff has been tried to, they've tried to do this stuff before with associations, governing bodies, you know, whatever you know, call it. But all these different attempts, you know, let's start a nonprofit and do all this kind of stuff. And that is just like, we see how this stuff works. We see the end product you get when you go that route by creating a standards body, and then designing a spec in private, and then just releasing it to the public. And what you get when that happens is you get things like the Wi-Fi Alliance standard, which the first couple of revisions of that thing were horrible. You get Bluetooth. I mean, that thing's been a mess since day one.
Yeah.
We know how this stuff works. And we also know how stuff works with open source projects. When you throw something out there, which is a framework or a wireframe for an idea, and then you let people who have legitimate interest in seeing it succeed hash out the details, and it's much more complete, much more beautiful of a process. I mean, collectively, the podcast hosts, apps, directories, platforms, you take all those groups together and you lump them into what you might call the podcast industry or the independent podcast industry. Together, those people are just as powerful as Google, Spotify, Apple. They have just as much power and just as much voice, but it's a loosely coupled group of entities. And this namespace and this collective effort here is a unifying force that exerts specifically, I'll give you, and this is a great, this is one way to get into this, specifically the locked tag.
Yes.
And Buzzsprout implemented this today, like 3 hours ago.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's putting a stake in the ground, man.
All 300,000 of their feeds now have the locked tag in them. They are enforcing it in their system.
Mm-hmm.
If they see another feed that somebody tries to import and it says locked equals yes, they won't import it until they unlock it. And they also are locking all of their feeds with the tag. That sends a message to every other player in the industry.
Anchor.
Yeah.
Anchor.
Yes.
Anchor. And by the way, Anchor, please, guys, this is the way to go. It'd be perfect. It solves your shit in one fell swoop. Don't import with a lock tag. No one can complain anymore.
You're done. Your PR problems are over.
I'll write the press release.
It's not that Anchor wants people to do shady stuff.
No, they didn't have the mechanism.
Here you go. Here's the mechanism. It's right. I mean, it's as easy as adding seriously like 25 bytes to your RSS feed and you're done. You don't have to worry about that anymore. It's one line in an RSS feed and a checkbox on your user dashboard.
And I think that, you know, however they present that to their customers is really going to be kind of the standard, because now I'm about to say to my RSS hosting company, which is, that's you, Dave.
I'm listening.
You've created, yes, thank you. Great customer service. You know, you've created the tool that I use to create my RSS feed. I want my lock tag.
Oh God, that's going to take forever. I'm not sure I can do that.
I want my lock tag. I mean, I can hand code it, of course, but I still want my lock tag.
We'll put it on our feature request list. We may get to it next year.
Oh, thinking like a suit. I love you.
Yeah. No, that's just one example of something that,
like, users can demand.
Solves a problem right now.
And that users can demand. Users can demand this. It's that simple. If you're
Libsyn, Blueberry, do it. Yeah, just do it right now.
If your feed's getting jacked, or if you're worried about it, demand that you have that. And then all Anchor has to do is say, you know, lock tag equals yes, bork.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing about this, if Libsyn, Blueberry, Captivate, Transistor, Fireside,
Buzzsprout,
they've already done it. Podbean. You just go down. If those group of hosting companies implement the tag, and Anchor does not, tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah,
that's a way to publicly shame the hosting companies that don't. DNS has had, and me, I think we talked about this on the very first episode.
Yes, we did.
We said, let's make podcasting like DNS, where it's base infrastructure. And DNS has had this concept of transfer locking of a domain for 25 years. And that is a simple thing to bring to the podcasting space.
Yeah.
And we just did it. And all you got to do is just, now you just have to honor it and put it in your feeds. It's super simple.
And thank you, Tom Rossi and his team. I don't know if he has a partner, right? He has a partner in the business.
Yeah, Tom and Kevin. Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing up. That means a lot. Yeah. Really does. That means a lot to me too, just personally. Like, that means a lot. Someone says, screw it, I'm going to do it. I love that attitude.
I do too. And it helps to have somebody just jump in and say, we're going to implement this right now.
Yeah.
And the other tag that has been formalized is the transcripts captions tag.
Yeah. That was a neat, and I'll use the Warren Beatty phrase he used about Madonna's show. That was a neat little thread to follow, because there was a lot of opinions, a lot of different ideas, some actual experiences, and we're going to see the same thing with the chapters. I love seeing that. And it was pretty damn civil too. Hello. It was just nice.
Yeah. It comes down to, and I will credit, Dave Weiner's document. I will credit this, his rule for this, for the way that went. And the rule in question is, if practice deviates from the spec, change the spec. It's as simple as that. If you have, if you're designing a spec and you find that people are already doing that thing that you're trying to design and they're doing it a different way, just change the spec to reflect what's already being done.
Exactly.
And so that's what we did. We were designing this. We came up with all these ideas, and then Buzzsprout came in and said, hey guys, we already have like this exact tag. And guess what? It's even called the podcast namespace. And they were the only ones using it.
Yeah.
And so we said,
great.
Show us what you're doing. And so they showed the tag, they showed all the stuff, and we kind of bashed it out a little bit and said, you know what? We can make transcripts and captions both fit this one tag with just one optional attribute that you add for captions. And that way Buzzsprout doesn't have to change a single thing.
Right.
But if they want, if anybody else wants to use it, they can do it. And they also, now it gives them this other option. So you just change the spec to fit what's actually happening and you make developers happy.
And did I, did I see Podfriend already supported captions?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm showing that to Tina. I'm like, remember I was telling you about this morning about that thing? She says, yeah. And I said, look at this. Is that Podfriend? I said, yeah. I said, holy shit, there's captions in this. Said, yeah, that's like 8 hours later or something. It's nuts.
Yeah, he doesn't sleep. Yeah. I don't know what time zone Denmark's on, but they must be on like 24-hour daylight right now.
Wintertime, yeah, could be.
Yeah, but no, I mean, he did that like within a day. And it was perfect. It works just fine.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, so... since I've, you know, I keep up with everything I can. I'm also working on phase two of our mission, which is retooling podcasting as a platform of value. So know that that's, you know, we'll be talking about that soon. I'd love to get the rundown for you. We already know about the captions and the locked. What else do we have on deck with the namespace? Oh, you also put a timeline on it for phase one lockdown, right?
Well, so I said I was going to, and so the timeline, and this just has to be the way it goes. Okay. Again, rules for standards makers. You have to set timelines or else things never get done.
Right.
So I'll just read it. Yep. How about that?
Yep.
Okay. So it says at some point when the new ideas are slowed to a trickle and as a base of compatible software develops, freeze the spec, but provide an extension mechanism so new ideas have an outlet. Developers need a foundation to build on, one that's fixed and not moving. And so that's what we're doing. The new ideas and the voices surrounding transcripts, captions, and the locking tag, those, there really just wasn't much else there. So we went ahead and formalized those two tags because they're important, and there was nothing really else to be mined on those things. So we formalize those, and then the rest of phase one tags, those are going to close and be frozen on November the 15th. So 30 days, well, it's the 16th. So November, so almost 30 days from now. So basically a month from now, anything left in the phase one tags, it'll just be frozen as is.
Okay.
At that point. Okay. Anything beyond that, any of the tags that we're not comfortable with in phase one will just be booted to phase two.
Now, what?
Yeah.
What else do we have some consensus on? Podcast verification.
That's built into the lock tag.
Okay. Oh, right. Of course. That's part of it. Right. Of course.
Yeah. And so we have right now. I'm pulling it up. I actually printed this out day before yesterday, and I was going to start highlighting some stuff to talk about on the show, and then I looked at it this morning, and I just threw it in the trash can. I'm like, this changed so much already. Trent, see, we got chapters. I think we're kind of zeroing in on that. I think we're looking okay on that. If we can fit that into phase one. Location, there doesn't seem to be a lot of argument about that anymore. So
I guess my Maidenhead locator didn't make the cut, huh?
I think it's because everybody thought that Maidenhead sounded dirty.
That's us ham radio operators, baby. Dirty bunch we are. That's right. Yeah,
okay. And then we've got some good consensus around persons. So that'll be a way to define.
That's been very interesting. I never considered that. I know Apple implemented some version of it, and I never really... I mean, I'm a lazy guy. And all things considered, you know, I don't think any of this helps me at all. I mean, I just don't think about it. I'm probably very wrong. And I've also seen some decent conversation about guests, which I think has become something that people don't want to do. But the host tag's interesting, and I will admit that not as a podcaster, but as a podcast user, I often will try and find something by somebody's name for sure.
Yeah, I think having that defined, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Because then you can just drop it in. and index it in a search, and you don't have to start trying to do all this crazy stuff like trying to dig this stuff out of the description field. It's just so much work. And if you can do that, if you can structure, if you make the data structured in the feed, you don't have to worry about that.
Now, go ahead. Well, I'm no expert by a long shot, but a lot of the tagging stuff to me is mainly meant for search visibility. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
So my question is, at what point do we have to be careful that we're not putting stuff in that is going to be easily abused? So that was the I liked reading I don't know where it was. I was reading a thread about guests, and I think it may have been Marco. So it probably wasn't on podcast index.social, from Marco from Overcast. And he was saying, well, what we have is, look at all these feeds where, it's like, be like this guy, or sound just like him, or just people putting these names in order to surface in search rankings. Very much like putting one feed, 15,000 episodes, the same episode.
Yeah. And I think that the way you get around that is just with sanity in the aggregator. You basically say, well, nobody's going to have 45 guests on an episode.
Right.
I mean, you index the first, you aggregate the first four or five tags or however many, I think a culture of the right way to handle these things will develop just like it has with everything else.
Right.
Cause there's lots of ways to abuse that. You can hand code in a whole bunch of, iTunes keywords or
right.
iTunes categories. You could put 50 of them in there or not, but I mean, we don't take any more than 8.
Right.
So, we just stop. I think there's abuse potential for everything in this.
Sure.
Everything in RSS. So I'm not too worried about that, because I think the main driving force around this is hosting, is the hosters. And so they're going to have some control over their own systems in order to stop that. Something like the way it reads now is you can define a person and then give them a role, host or guest, and then they can have an image associated with them, like a little, snapshot avatar, mm-hmm. or a link to a wiki, PDA entry or something like that, and that stuff can just be right there in the feed, which is cool. And the same for, contacts. You can have multiple points of contact within a feed. You can define a DMC, like an abuse contact.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Or another contact for, like, if you're an advertiser and you want to advertise on my show, you can contact me through this address.
I saw that one. Yeah, I saw that. Interesting. So it is so much like DNS, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. It's like DNS with record lookups.
Yeah, these are different record types. It's like an MX or an A or a C name,
right,
or whatever.
Right, right. Damn, everything's the same.
I want to stop here for a second and talk about JSON for a minute, because it's something that always comes up in this discussion.
It's a hot topic.
JSON.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah, it is. It's on everybody's tongue these days.
Yeah. Just for the uninitiated, is JSON not just some other format or programming language, or is it a floor wax and a dessert topping? I don't know JSON. I've seen what it looks like. Here's the JSON. Okay, I see it. But what is it?
It's basically a serialization format for JavaScript. I know that doesn't help anything at all, but when you want to take a JavaScript object and make it, for lack of a better term, portable.
Mm-hmm.
Where it can be used outside of the script itself,
mm-hmm.
You can convert it. Basically, you serialize it into a textual representation of the object, and that's JSON.
And that's information, or is also, can you make it executable?
No, it's just data.
Okay, all right, got it.
So it's JSON is a JavaScript object notation, is what it stands for.
That helps. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that. and so what this really started to get kind of popular when Brent Simmons and Manton Reese created the JSON feed spec. I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago.
Brent did that. Okay.
Yeah.
We know Brent.
Yeah. Brent Simmons is clearly a legend in the Mac world.
Yeah.
Manton Reese is a very good programmer. I respect him a lot. He's a micro.blog platform. And those guys are clearly, they're smart as a whip. I mean, and the JSON feed spec is wonderful. I got no problems with anything they've done, and I don't think there's anything really wrong with it at all. The problem with JSON, and the reason that I just can't spend any of my energy on it, is because, well, number one, I've been down this road before with JSON feed. I implemented JSON feed in the Freedom Controller like within a day of it coming out, and the there's a gist up in my GitHub repo list for that will take an RSS take a JSON feed and convert it back to RSS.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I did that was because everything internal to the Freedom Controller
is RSS. It
all expects to be XML. It right. passes simple XML objects around all over the place. And I'm like, well, I want to consume JSON feed in case it becomes a big thing. But I mean, it's internally, I don't want to I can't recode everything in here. So I created that thing. And so basically when you consume a JSON feed, if you subscribe to it with the Freedom Controller, which you can, it just morphs it into RSS on the way in. So internally it's just XML.
Right.
And it just felt like such a waste. I'm like, you know, I'm basically taking this format. I'm just converting it right back to XML.
Yeah, you're not getting any benefits.
Not really. And the other, well, there's a few problems with JSON adoption. And number one, and this goes back to rules for standards makers, is let's see, it's one way is better than two.
Yes.
Is one of the rules. And that the reason one way is better than two is because there's always going to be this long tail of adoption where people that are producing feeds have to produce both XML and JSON both.
Yep.
Because you have to be sure that you're producing what your consumers can take. So you have to produce both, and you never know how long you have to produce both. So what happens is you end up having to produce both forever.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to do that.
And no one really wins. No one really wins.
Yes. That's sort of the main issue. I don't know if you've heard of, I use this analogy on the Mastodon the other day. I don't know if you ever heard of Gresham's Law, which is bad money drives out good. It's this concept of, let's just say you have gold versus some kind of fiat currency. Nobody's ever going to go spend their gold at the grocery store. You know,
yeah.
Everybody's going to spend the crap money. Right. And they're going to keep the good money, the gold, for themselves in their vault. And so,
analogy.
Yeah, so it's the same type of deal. It's like the bad stuff, maybe XML in this scenario is the bad guy. But it's the one that everybody is already using. And so everybody's just going to keep using that one thing, because to switch means that you're going to have to do this other complicated thing and put yourself at a potential risk by one day cutting off maybe a certain percentage of your user base when you drop XML. You just can't do it. And the other thing about JSON that I think bothers me so much is developers are bad about wanting the one best thing. They want perfection, and I get it. You know, nobody wants to have a Roku, an Amazon Fire Stick, and an Apple TV in their house to watch, you know, all their shows.
Yeah,
maybe that's a bad analogy, but everybody has this vision, especially developers are bad about this, to have this fantasy vision of the perfect spec where it solves everybody's problem. And just because there's one, that everything is fixed. But that's not the way anything really works.
Right.
We have HTML on the web. HTML is basically XML. Uh-huh. It's a markup language.
Yeah.
And nobody is talking about replacing HTML with JSON. We have YAML, which is
another markup language.
Exactly, which is a very good markup language for configuration files. It's used with things like Docker. I think Kubernetes uses it. There are lots. The Open API specification uses it. Lots of things use YAML because it's easy to write and it's visually very clear. Markup languages have a benefit of handwriting and ease of reading. JSON is easy to read when you have a flat list of just maybe an array or something.
Mm.
The more complicated JSON gets, it becomes very difficult to write by hand. And like if you've seen a large JSON document,
yeah,
you really, it can fry your brain.
Well, that's what I've always liked about RSS. I could look at it and go, oh, okay. I can probably copy and paste this into Notepad and put a different URL here and a different name here. And it's like, oh, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you did that yesterday. I mean, you were having some trouble with
Oh, my God. Feed. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for being my eyes and ears, man. I didn't know what was going on there for a moment. But yeah.
Well, you can put a spurious curly bracket into JSON and you can bork the whole
Breaks
thing.
Breaks everything. Yeah.
Everything. And it's just as fragile as XML is in that regard. So I think we need to get away from this idea that there's this one perfect, you know, spec that needs to be applied to everything. The world we live in applies different solutions to different problems. And what we have in the feed world is we have RSS. It dominates. It is the master spec for everything involving news feeds.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yep.
I think we need to be very careful in the independent podcasting world about trying to sever podcasting from the rest of blogging.
Because I completely agree.
We index 1.3 something million feeds currently. You can multiply that times 50, and that's how many blogs there are.
Easily.
Yeah. So it behooves everybody to maintain podcasting as a subset of blog of the same thing that blogging uses to do feeds. The enclosure tag is there for a reason, and it solves that pretty well. All we have to do is add the namespace on top of it to give podcasters the extra stuff that they need that blogs may not need.
And the infrastructure is just there. The infrastructure stays and it's perfect for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is. I just think that there's a way. I just think it's a lot of wasted effort to try to upend everything and apply a completely new spec to something that can be solved much more quickly. And I can tell you this from a parsing standpoint, that our aggregator uses JavaScript. So parsing JSON would be fine, but other aggregators don't. And right. if my aggregator is written in JavaScript, maybe it handles JSON pretty well, but handling JSON in something like PHP or Swift. Now, Swift, the first recent versions of the Swift language can handle JSON a little bit better, but the first two or three versions of Swift, my God, JSON was just a nightmare. It was absolutely not a better product than XML.
I think
we need to be careful about that. Go ahead.
Is this still a big debate about JSON versus RSS, or are you just clarifying as we move into the namespace?
I kind of wanted to clarify my feelings on it, just so that, and basically to say that I don't have any energy for that debate.
Got it.
I just don't. And this, I want to focus all my energy on what I see as low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Which is an XML namespace. And if somebody else wants to take on the mantle of trying to get the entire industry to switch at the same time to a different format, fine. I don't think it'll ever happen, but that's something that somebody else can do. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it's necessary. I really do not think it's necessary.
Flag planted.
Yeah. And the, you know, I want to say too that JSON is just not, I just don't think it's ever gonna happen. And more importantly, I don't think it needs to. It comes back to that idea that I talked about just a second ago. It really comes down to, it's okay to have more than one spec, like more than one language.
Sure.
And I just think we need to be comfortable with that. There's not a reason for it.
When do we talk about the chicks?
Okay.
When you're JSON, man, it's like, okay, I got you. No, okay, seriously. No, I understand. I understand your reasons for saying this, and I appreciate it. And yeah, I completely agree. And I adhere to Weiner's Bible there. I think is absolutely right.
I think we're basically the book TV of podcasts?
Yes, it was interesting conversation we had about JSON versus RSS.
URLs should be inside a node value.
Yes. Let's close that tag and move on.
Okay. Do you want to move on to funny things that chicks say when they go to Spotify?
Do we know anything about a monster contract? Did they cash in?
Okay. Do we want to do that first? Or we want to do donations.
Oh, hell yes. Of course. We have a nice list to talk about today.
All right, let's do donations.
And let me explain the entire concept of value for value, which is how we're starting this project off. It's, obviously we put our own money in to just get it off the ground. But the idea is we need your time, your talent, your treasure, any combination of those to support the entire, preservation here for podcasting as a platform of free speech. We intend to hopefully come up with a way that everybody is in some kind of value flow so that the index can run by itself. But you're getting out of it what you put into it. And again, that's the developers, that's the idea people. James Cridlin, everybody who was a part of this is contributing in one way or the other, and they're getting out of it what is worthwhile to them. For their own projects, for their own sanity, for their own thought process. And we love it when we can also support the machinery financially. And that's why we ask for value for value. There's no limit. You can, whatever's valuable to you, whatever value you're getting out of the index, whatever value you're getting out of this show, which is part of the whole podcasting 2.0 system, just give it back any way you can. And we've set up a PayPal. That's at podcastindex.org, and we've had some people jump in and help us out. I think even with a couple of recurring donations, which really keeps the servers running.
Totally. There's a big red, you finally got your big red donation button.
I know, the big red donation. Thank you very much, Trent, by the way. I should say Drunk Plato, who did a phenomenal job. I love how it looks. Our new homepage, our landing page, and I really appreciate that it did that for us. It looks great.
Yeah, it's killer. It looks fantastic. But we'll talk about that later. I was going to say talk about the search. Search is better, but I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Let me make a note of that so I won't forget. Search. So donations. On the last show, we got a donation like during the show for $500.
Yeah, that was from Benjamin.
And he said that he would like to make that donation. And I had some correspondence with him. He said he would like to have that donation in honor of Aaron Schwartz, which is a hero of his.
Oh, wow. Okay, nice. So absolutely.
Yeah, and I thought that was a great, That was a great idea.
We should be honored to have that kind of association. Clearly, he associates Aaron Swartz and his work with what's going on here. So I take that as a huge compliment.
You know, I was thinking about Aaron Swartz when he wrote, Benjamin wrote a really, just a really, it was honestly, it was kind of a moving email about his story. And I was thinking about Aaron Swartz. You know, that's been a long time now.
It was a long time ago.
Has that been like maybe 12 years ago or longer?
Well,
it's been a while.
Let me see. 7 years ago.
Okay. It just seems, I guess.
Seems longer, doesn't it? Yeah, no, it does seem longer.
It's kind of, I don't know, it just kind of hit me how long it's been and how strange of a whole thing
that whole situation was. Very strange, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's very, like, based on what we're doing now, that seems like a very appropriate. Tom at Buzzsprout gave us $1,000.
What?
Last night.
What? Oh my.
Yep.
Holy crap. So wait a minute. So Tom from Buzzsprout, who's been part of the group for what, 2 weeks now?
Oh, not even that long, like a week.
He comes in, implements part of the spec, helps us out with the stuff they're doing already, and supports.
Wow. And he said, I'm excited Buzzsprout can play a part in driving podcasting forward. We're all in, is what he said.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
They're
killing it, man.
Yeah, and that's going to keep us going. Nice. Thank you so much.
It's so nice to have that, because then you just don't have to worry about staying up at night thinking about the bill, you know.
And everybody has to understand, my good friend Dave, who has been thinking about my bills for a decade without me asking. He's like, this is too much. What are you paying? That's too much. Let me see if I can switch this around and proxy this, and I'll do that, and I'll put that upside down, and I'll flip-flop that. And what's your bill? And I'm like, yeah, I know you care, and it's really appreciated.
No, we got that licked, man.
Yeah, we do. We're frugal, baby. We know how to do that. We know how to run lean and mean.
Yeah. Let's see. Who we got? We got, so that's Aaron Swartz, Honorarium, and Tom from Buzzsprout. There's, let's see, this one is credited $50 from Sir Bill of Glen Rock.
Nice.
And he says, go podcasting, mic drop.
wait, I can give him a mic drop. I think I got a mic drop for him. You got to do the whole go podcasting. Don't I have a thing for that? Go podcasting. We got people coming over from No Agenda and other places.
Yeah. Go podcasting!
Wasn't that you? Is that you?
That's me. That's me with the mic drop. Yeah.
I remember that. Thank you, Sir Glenn. Sir Bill of Glen Rock. That's right.
Yeah.
David Norman from Hypercatcher. He gave us $25 a month subscription.
Wow. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now Hypercatcher, is that on, is that a native app or is that a web app? What is Hypercatcher? Let me see.
It's a native app on iOS, and it's a really pretty app. And he implemented that one. Like a studio thing where you can, it's like a.
Oh, you know, I tried suite. I tried to sign up for something because he was promoting it. Yeah, it's like for clipping and stuff. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to eat my dog food, man. Here, Hypercatcher.
He was the very first developer to start using us for search.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Hypercatcher. Good. We're downloading as we speak.
He implemented our API. Oh my gosh, it was maybe like the first week. It was very, very early. He gave us a $25 a month subscription.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that keeps, you need a server. Let's see what I got here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I thought he was web only, and I'd signed up for something, and I didn't get a confirmation email, and then I got 8 phone calls. And, okay, this is great.
Yeah, no, he, his app is on iOS, and it's very pretty. It's a very beautiful app, and he just implemented this. I looked at it last night. It's like a newsletter feature where you can see newsletters and stuff in the app. It's pretty. He's a good programmer, doing some really neat stuff. Thanks, David.
I'm looking at it now. It's really, it really is pretty.
Did you get the app?
Yeah, I just got it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just nice looking. It's just a good, it's a good feeling app, and I hope there again about the search. I think the search today is much better than it was yesterday.
Yeah, what did you change?
That will help him.
Something happened. You did something and stuff changed.
Yeah. So what I did was took the all of basically there's a script now that's running and it's looking at the logs. It's looking at the last 24 hours of logs all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's looking to see from all the API calls coming from all the different various people. It's looking to see which pod. It's looking at the ones that are feed by ID or feed by iTunes ID. And it's looking at those two API endpoints. And whenever something hits that, it bumps the popularity score up.
Ah, right. So because you can track the search and the click.
Yeah, exactly. Ah, so because nice. You can tie together somebody searched for this and then they the next call that comes in associated with it was they found what they looked for and they tapped it.
Got it.
Or clicked on or whatever. So you just make the association. And so we're just doing a popularity score ranking on that as an integer. Sticking that in the database, and then we're just weighting the results based on that in descending order.
Right.
And it instantly it made the search 1,000
times. I saw it. Yeah, I know. I saw it. It was the Dust Podcast was the search term that was not working, right?
It was that, and also the Daily from the New York Times was never, it got bare. You know, obviously, if you search for the words the Daily, you got to have a ranking. I mean, you got to have some sort of way to weight that. And so, like, all that stuff is now fixed. I mean, all the stuff you would expect to be in the right order, there.
I see it now. So this is basically a whole wrapper around the API.
Yeah, and it doesn't depend. Fantastic. What I like about it is it doesn't depend on, and this is what took so long to get this, is I have no interest in scraping Apple or some other service to get this ranking information.
I'm
just not doing it. We have to find other ways to live outside of that silo. And so, this is how we do it. As more people adopt the API for their apps, we just use our own internal stats to figure out what they're looking for and then look and then get it.
Right.
So that it's working. So
beautiful. Good. Well, Hypercatcher now on deck. We'll start filling it up. I can't. This is nice. Fast too. Very fast.
Yeah, it is fast.
I like fast apps.
So, David, you're gonna get the second API server. You're gonna get API 2.
With a custom tunnel to your app.
Custom. Yeah, straight up.
Thank you, David. Very nice. Really appreciate it.
You have, let's see, I hope I'm saying this right. It's Soren. You probably can pronounce this better than I can. It's the O with the strike.
Yeah, Soren. Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
Okay. He did a automatic subscription, a monthly subscription for $10 a month. And that exactly, I'll give you aggregator one, and that you are now paying every month to support one of the aggregators.
Thank you, Soren.
Yeah. And that really helps. That's just another server bill. We don't have to worry about
the paper crumple is a nice touch in this digital world. Enjoying it.
I do what I can.
You're analog man. I love it.
Let's see. And I want, there's two, okay, two other ones. Derek Visker, he did a $21 a month subscription.
Okay.
And he is going to get Aggregator 4.
You are an actual server now.
Yep, you are. thank you, Derek. I couldn't find a note from Derek. I hope I didn't miss it. If I did, Derek, please
send me see. What's Derek's last name? Can we mention that?
Visker, V-I-S-K-E-R.
Okay. Let's see, I just somehow I recall D-E-R-E-K or C-K?
D-E-R-E-K.
Okay.
Visker. Let me see if I got
anything. No, I don't have anything. Thought I'd seen something.
Yeah, I had a couple of just picked out emails. So I didn't see a note. But thank you, Derek.
Yeah, very much.
That's a subscription. And then Kenneth Brown and his is just a single donation for $3.33.
We'll take it.
And yeah, and his note was mac and cheese treasure. Thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your courage. Yes, thank you indeed. Thank you for your courage.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, that's our donation, guys.
Yeah, and a great list it is. And thank you all so much for grasping the concept, understanding it, value for value, and in this case, the treasure. But also a lot of you with your time and your talent. It's great. Really, really appreciate it. Again, it's podcastindex.org, and there's a big red donation button at the bottom.
I've been wanting you to do this. Can you just tell, can you explain why? I think one thing that gets lost when you talk about value for value is that people immediately make the false association between that and like a Patreon subscription type thing. And there's a reason why you don't ask people to do, y'all never say $5 a month, right, or something like that. Right. You always leave it completely open.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Value is kind of is almost like risk. You know, everyone assesses their own risk. You know, for one, parachute jumping is low risk. I won't do it, but yet I'll fly helicopters. Value is kind of the same way. I can't look at someone and say, well, you know, whatever you're getting out of podcastindex.org is worth $5 to you, because that may be $5 may be much better spent for that person on something that they value much higher. So all I'm saying is take a look. What kind of value are you getting from this? And that's going to be so vastly different for a developer, to a hosting person, to someone who just likes to listen to podcasts, to someone who just likes to help people out. I mean, there's people like that too. I'm sure some of them are supporting us as well. If you just ask people to put the value on it that they want, you're always pleasantly surprised. And I remember this with the No Agenda show. And the way we would talk about it then is, okay, we talk for 2 hours. You could go to the movies. And you could sit in a dark room with a friend or take a date, have a drink, some popcorn. Could be $50. Now, you just spent 2 hours with us. Was that worth 50? And it turns out many will say, no, you're about a $5 for 2 hour kind of experience. Yeah. But that's okay. That's what's, you know, and that may be. And by the way, that $5 may be a lot for that person. And some people say, man, that was $500 for me. I don't know. Maybe they're sitting on a gold mine. I don't know. But when you do that, it's a much, much better, transparent process, and no one ever feels diminished. I keep going back to, and I was so disappointed when iTunes started to sell music, and everything was valued at 99 cents. And one of my favorite songs, I think it's the best love song, is I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that and it's like, this is only 99 cents, you know, I think of, you know, Sir George Martin, who produced it. I know I can hear the room that it was done in. I can hear, you know, Paul and John, and just And I like, that's worth so much more to me. And if you'd only asked me or said, what do you think it's worth? I would have given you so much more. So I feel shortchanged because I couldn't give you the value that I thought it was. And, Apple's a public company, they need to be able to project their revenues and their cost. But we don't have any of that. We just want to keep going from one day to the next. And for the last 13 years, it's how I live my life. My rent was determined by the value that people got from my work. And if the value was good, then I could pay rent and have an extra coffee. And it's just, it keeps you on your toes. It keeps you doing your best work. And I feel it makes everybody happy about their contribution on all sides of the equation.
I remember when I've been listening. I listened to No Agenda for a minimum of 10 years, maybe 11. And I remember when you made the transition and left Mevio to do No Agenda full time. Mm-hmm. And I remember the discussion. It was a process. You talked about it for a few weeks, and then you finally made the jump. You're like, I'm doing it. I'm pulling the plug. I'm going all in. And you know, when you did that, it was a risk because you didn't know. I mean, you didn't know whether the donations were going to fall off a cliff or anything like that.
No, I didn't.
When you put yourself out there, people step up.
It's mankind at its best. I was talking to my wife. I was talking about, you know, how this is working. And she says, so everyone comes in, you know, and she comes from the nonprofit world. She has a very different background. She used to be in banking a long time ago, more in the administrative side. And she says, okay, so let me understand. So everyone comes in to this group and they share their software.
Yeah.
And they share all the code and everyone can use it. Yeah. And really?
Yeah.
I know. It sounds strange. But that's some of the most, I've said it, but this is art. You know, I see art being created. Yeah, there's science behind it and math and all that. I just see art. In everything that's going on in with the index and with the developers and right now Hypercatcher, everywhere I look is beautiful art. It's expression of how people want to portray something, an experience. It's one of the most beautiful human things there are, and it's interesting that it's found in this, to me, in this environment. And yeah, that's exactly what it is. And you know what? It's fun because people can go take that code and go off and they can do stuff together, or they can build a billion-dollar corporation, or they can continue to just do whatever they want with it, just something for themselves. It's so opposite of the entire world around us. It's such the antithesis of it. It's fantastic. And then, you know, add some value for value on top of that to keep things going. Well, we do have to deal with the outside world and actual prices and stuff. And I think it's for this very reason that as we move ahead, we're going to see everybody benefiting. And I mean financially. I see it. I can taste it.
Yeah, because the developers and everything they're sharing. That's the thing, is the developers that are making all this plumbing that makes all of this possible. They've been left out of the loop. And
big time.
Big time. I mean, they're left with just trying to, you know, sell a $9 app on the App Store
or some banner ads
and we, you know, that's really the focus of phase two of this, is trying to bring the app developers into the loop where they can do value for value just like the podcasters can. Thanks for doing that, because I hear you talk about value for value a lot, and people jump and make the false, they make the incorrect association to, oh yeah, you mean hiding some of your content behind a paywall so that they give you money to get the value. And that's just not the way this works.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a very good point. And that's just a decision that comes along with the whole idea. I've just never, if you say to someone, okay, you want to listen to this, it's going to cost you 99 cents. If I dropped a dollar and my back hurt, it's very possible I wouldn't pick it up.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like I'm a rich guy, because I'm not, but let's be honest about it. If I drop three quarters in the drain and I could bend down and I could get him, you might not. You'd be bummed, but oh, whatever. So you're diminishing an entire experience down to a number that you can or can't. And then people, it's become so unimportant. I think people go, it's probably not worth it. Even the trouble of signing up for something, really, just to pay 99 cents. So once you make it free and open and, hey, man, if you like it and you really like it, then, you know, then kick something back one way or the other. If you don't like it and you're listening to it, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, sure. That's a good point. Yeah.
I don't want you to risk anything. If you don't like it, then fine. Then that's okay. If you like it a little bit, you're on the fence. Fine. That's the value to you. Oh, man, if the world worked like that, many people.
Everybody's value looks different, too, because when not just the financial part, but you take a guy like Daniel J. Lewis, he's not contributing code, and he's not, he may donate, but he hasn't yet. But, the way he's giving us his value is by his experience.
Yep.
and showing up on the GitHub repos and saying, hey, guys, I think this is something y'all need to consider. And that is every bit as valuable as a donation.
Valuable. Incredibly valuable. Yes. Well, that's why I say the triple T's, time, talent, treasure. Yeah. Just spending your time looking at it and say, hey, one pixel's off. That fucking matters.
That matters.
That in a corporation, there's a $60,000 a year person to do QA and find that.
Yeah, find the pixel.
So that matters, definitely. Very valuable.
Well, I didn't want to derail. I just wanted to make sure that it felt important to talk about that. But that is a perfect segue, though, into the chick moving to
the sellouts. The sellouts. Well, they're okay. All going to come back eventually. You watch. They're all going to come back.
I'm afraid that's going to happen in this case, too. So if you play, let me set this up. The name of the podcast is Just Break Up, and I went back and listened to the episode that they did the initial announcement that they were moving to Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And the announcement took like 20 minutes. I mean, it was a long announcement.
Uh-huh.
And so what Spotify, let me say this, it's clear from listening to this clips, if you just listen and read between the lines, it's clear what you're hearing is you're hearing the meeting that took place between Spotify and the podcasters.
Mm.
And you're hearing what Spotify told them to emphasize to their audience.
Not oh, really?
I think so. Now, okay. I want you to listen to these clips and tell me if you think the same thing.
Okay.
What I hear in these clips is Spotify sending a message to their audience and to other podcasters.
Oh, okay.
Play clip one.
And now Just Break Up takes up easily, you know, without any growth right now, Just Break Up takes up, you know, 70% of my workload. Mm-hmm. And to be paid less than part-time for my less, you know, my more than part-time work is hard on me. But, you know, Spencer and Sam and I, we really believe in the podcast. So we did this for 2 years because we wanted to get to a place where someone like Spotify would offer us such an amazing partnership.
Okay. Wow. I just had like a trauma flashback.
Okay.
See, people forget that in 2006, I started a podcast network. In aggregate, raised $65 million to build it out over, I think the company finally disbanded about after 10 years. And I was out before then. And all the pitfalls, all the things that Spotify is going to go through, I can predict. But what's interesting about this particular clip is when we did it, and clearly I was wrong thinking it would work, and I have a lot of reasons that prove it's wrong and may never work. Although in this case, you know, they have one extra advantage is they're trying to lock these people in and not make them public at all. We had the quit your day job. It's like, come on over to Pod Show or Pod Show. And, you know, we'll help you quit your day job. And then all you'll have to do is podcasting. And we definitely helped a lot of people quit their day job. But did did everybody quit their day job? No. I mean, we can get to all the problems that that'll bring with it. Maybe not totally appropriate for the show, but that's exactly the message Spotify is sending. And so I find that interesting. At least that's what I'm hearing. What did you hear?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I heard. What I heard was the meeting. And the meeting is is that the Spotify had the clipboard and they said, okay, look, what we want you to do is emphasize in your announcement that you're going to get a living wage. Finally.
Right.
You're finally going to get paid for your work. And I think that is a message, not to the listeners, but to other podcasters.
Oh, totally. That's always what it is. Yes, of course.
Play clip two.
I'll reiterate what Sam said, which is that we have 100% creative control. The show is still free. Because
that's a good point.
We have to stress this, because I didn't even know this, because in one of our meetings, one of our Spotify team members was like, yeah, Spotify did such a good job pushing the premium membership of their app that like everybody doesn't realize that the app is free. And I was like under that misunderstanding too. even when we started conversations with Spotify, I was like, oh shit, like do people have to get a Spotify premium account? No, Spotify app is 100% free. You can download it today. You don't need a credit card. So our show will say the same. You'll just need to download a new app to listen to it if you don't already use Spotify.
Woo! Buy now. Stocks last.
Yeah. And I want to say this up front. I have no... this is not criticism. I mean, like, this is... if this was the right move for them, that's great. And I have no problem with Spotify offering. This is not me trying to criticize any players in this whole game. It's just, I think it's good to see the clarity behind what's happening, because what I heard in that clip was, okay, emphasize when you have your announcement that you're retaining creative control.
Oh yeah, which is really great. Go ahead, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Go ahead.
And also say at least maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 times that it's going
to
be free.
Free, app is free, no change to you. Right, and here's what's cool about it. When you have total creative control, and it's free, that means Spotify is going to put ads in front of your podcast, which is fine. They will also do mid-roll podcasts. If anyone tells you that's not true, they're doing it. I know that for sure. But the problem is that when you have creative control, the advertisers may not be that interested because of your content. And that's when you're going, I was listening to who's on the Gimlet stuff. What are some of the Gimlet shows?
Oh Lord, I don't know. I'm not up on them.
Yeah, there was some.
Did they get bought by Spotify?
Yeah. There was. Okay. So Gimlet. I guess Gimlet also does the Michelle Obama podcast. I don't know if it was. Let me just see which one of their shows it was. Current shows. It may have been Startup. But it could have been maybe Reply All. And it was some thread, maybe it was a Reddit thread. It's like, hey, man, you got some weird advertisers on your show, like something kind of goes against the whole vibe of the show. And the answer was, yeah, we stopped doing the host reads because Spotify has the right to put them in there. But since we can't choose our sponsors, we won't read the host reads. I mean, it's friction. Advertising is censorship. Believe me, that's just a shortcut to the whole story. Yeah. You will, if you're completely free and you're F-bombing or what, like she just did, some sponsors will not appreciate that and you will not get the ads. And then eventually the ad department's going to say, hey, how come we can't sell any ads? And it's a never ending loop. It's how it goes. It's advertising is censorship, ultimately.
That's not you guessing at this. That's
That's me knowing it. Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah. You BMW? You think they want to be on something with F bombs? No, they don't. They just don't.
No.
And they check it, and then, you know, they know the DNA of where things are going. But that doesn't matter. I'm happy. This may be a totally clean podcast. I don't know. It could be perfect for them. It's not.
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
interesting.
It's not a bad product. I mean, I listened to a couple of shows to get some clips, and, it's a great podcast. Okay. I like it a lot. I hate to see it go. Play clip three, and then I'll tell you what I hear in this.
You know, another thing I forgot to say in my little, tangent about like,
paying okay, stop, people- stop, stop, stop. Play that again, and she says it right up front. She said, another thing I forgot to say.
You know, another thing I forgot to say in my little tangent about, like...
Kensha? What's that word? Kensha?
Tangent. Oh, tangent. I think she's saying tangent.
Yeah. Okay. Oops, I forgot. It's on my list. I forgot. It was part of the talking points of the deal memo. Oh, darn.
You know, another thing I forgot to say in my little tangent about, paying people who offer a free creative service is that I won't, like... name names here, but when we were talking with one of our Spotify team members, something that they brought up was that a partnership with Spotify allowed another major podcast, one way bigger than ours, to finally be able to provide health insurance for their hosts. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was such like a beautiful, tangible, you know, sure, it might, like Sam said, there might be a small inconvenience of changing where you listen to this app, but it's still going to be free. And now your favorite host can like go to the doctor.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What do you hear there, Dave?
Well, I heard, when you talk about it on the show, call it a partnership. Number one, don't call it an acquisition. And, also, emphasize that this is a way for you to like meet your basic human needs and get health insurance.
Oh man. Yeah, well, I have to say it's one step better than quit your day job. It's like, and you get health care. I mean, if I'd only thought of that back in the pod show days, it might have worked.
I just seemed like when I was listening to that announcement, I thought this is just you. I think what you're hearing. And again, that's fine. There's no criticism here. It's all good. But what I'm hearing is just, this is okay. Here's how it struck me. So Spotify comes in with their Joe Rogan deal and does boom, 100 million or whatever the package was, you know, and that's them planting their flag and saying, we're here, baby. Mm-hmm. We got some big money to play with and get ready. And they let every other podcaster know that you're on the block. Like we may come to you and want to buy you.
It's like the early days of Twitter when you could be on the friends of Twitter list.
Yeah. That's a good analogy. And so like they set the stage with that one. And now they're going to start picking off shows, and each show is going to do probably a read like this where they basically go over these talking points.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. To make sure everybody, but looking at, I hate myself that there's so many names that have the word cast. So castcoverage.com. Mm-hmm. When I look at castcoverage.com, when I use, Podfriender, I mean, give me a break, Martin. You are cracking me the F up with that. I'm swiping left. I'm swiping right. Like, I love podcasts. I want to date them. The stuff that I find, it's like, that's the world, man. That's the universe. I mean, Spotify doesn't realize it yet. And I don't know exactly. I'm sure there's very capable people in there. But, you know, and I said this on Joe Rogan's show, I'm so happy for you. I got to make sure that we can have the next five Joe Rogans, who he also said they're there already, make sure they got a place.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work out for the lucky few, because it won't, I mean, there's a cut. There's going to be cuts. It's just how it goes. It's how it goes in mainstream media. I've been fired from media jobs. It's how it goes. It's, you know, it may not even be your fault. Maybe you got the wrong time. So whatever it is, you'll all be welcome back. And maybe when you come back, we'll have a way for you to make money too. If you're good. Yeah. And if you, not even if you're good, if you have an audience, if you can build an audience around you, then yeah, I think so.
And I'm afraid this show in particular may come back just because, like, you can kind of hear it. If you go to clip 5.
Please click follow to get new episodes every Monday only on Spotify. Reminder that we are moving exclusively to Spotify on October 19th. That is 2 weeks from today. So please make that move so that you can continue to listen to all of the good stuff that we put out. And please also consider supporting us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you will get an additional bonus weekly episode. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod. This literally keeps the mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Mm-hmm. So that tells me, you know, please download the app.
Yeah, but they're
keeping the Patreon.
I was going to say, yeah, they get to keep the Patreon. That's okay. And then that deal was a lot smaller than we think it is.
Yeah, and I don't know that, you know, at some point
they gave them healthcare. That's what it is. Keep your Patreon. Here's some healthcare.
That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Yeah, sure. Hey, healthcare is real money.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think that a lot of these shows are going to make the jump, yeah, and then their audience is not. Because here's the harsh reality: as good as your show is, user behavior is very hard to overcome. And you are not going to get a very large percentage of your audience to flip out of Overcast or Apple Podcast or Hypercatcher over to Spotify, listen to your show, then flip back to listen to the rest of their stuff. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I've discussed it with so many people. I think we brought it up here in regard to Michelle Obama's podcast. So they had problems reaching their quotas, clearly, for their ads, for their launch partners. And then it was like, oh, we're going to, it's so great, we're going to put it on all platforms, which basically means, we better unexclusify that so that we can get the ads, the ad plays that we promised. The user base of Spotify is a user base that listens to music. Mm-hmm. And there are people in this world who are in the car and listen to music, who are walking, listen to music, who are jogging, working out, listen to music. And there are people who listen to podcasts. And there are people who listen to podcasts much more than music, and people who listen to music much more than podcasts. The people on Spotify who are Spotify users are going to, in general, be music listeners who may occasionally want to listen to a podcast. Spotify is buying audience. And yes, I think you will get a large majority of your Joe Rogan audience to go to Spotify, but they're not going to listen to Michelle Obama. I think it's going to be a different audience. Could be wrong. So they have to transition their own audience. That's even harder of a job. Yeah. You've got an audience that is dialed into this. They know their playlist, their sharing playlist. They know exactly what they want, the music they want to listen to, the new songs, where to find them. And now I have podcasts. Okay, fine.
Yeah,
they're probably using a different app for podcasts. You know, now, I know a lot of people who listen to my own podcast on Spotify, or did. It's just
they can't anymore.
No, that's a hard. Well, that's the other thing. You know, be careful what you sign.
True.
That's hard for Spotify to do. That's very hard for them to do. It's a tough job.
And you can hear it in the read. It's just so much focus on, please just download the app. It's free. Please download the app. Please download the app.
Yep.
Like, so the other thing that kind of surrounds this, play ISO 1.
Oh, hold on. ISO 1. There you go.
Like, do you want serious entertainment? Because we can turn on Netflix.
Okay.
So they talked a lot about this in the read, I don't think I have a clip of it, but they kept saying that they were going to be exclusive to Spotify, and they were going to take their, and they said, we're going to be exclusive and our back catalog.
Right.
So what I want to know is currently they're listed in Podcast Index.
Mm-hmm.
when they say back catalog, does that mean that everyone else has to delist their previous episodes?
I believe so.
So do we legally have to take it off the Bandex?
No. No, no. But what they're going to do is that will stay the same, but I believe they will remove their MP3 files. I think that's what Joe Rogan's going to do come December, too.
So that's a perfect idea for an app. The archive the shows that are about to disappear app. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, can't somebody make an app and with just like, oh, this show's about to go away. Boom. Grab 125 MP3s all of a sudden. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
we'll stay on the index forever and just break, I guess.
It'll break. It's a very traditional Hollywood type deal. It's analogous to the Rogan deal. That's the template. It's just a licensing deal, which means they can decide not to put your episode up. They will pay you, but it won't go out if whatever happens.
Okay.
Let me tell you where we're headed with this. I'm going to use a different analogy. The modern media model has become subscription and streaming. And what we see is that families at home now have, since she mentioned it, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, Amazon. There's a couple more. Cable. And at the end of the month, when you look at your aggregate $150 bill for all of these services together, you go to yourself and say, self, I am watching one show on Hulu. I'm watching three shows on Netflix. I'm paying for all this other stuff. And look at the bill. And the postmodern model, which I think is where we can take podcasting, is I want to transfer value directly to the person who is giving me this fabulous entertainment. Because Spotify is going in that direction, and they're all trying to create their little fiefdoms. And the difference is the production cost of a good podcast is not like that of a good Netflix or Amazon show. So there's going to be so much beauty outside of these individual silos of streaming subscription. I think they're going to lose. I don't think this is a war they can win. They just haven't done the numbers yet. Granted, we don't have the value system flowing within podcasting yet, but that's not far off.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes perfect sense because whatever the cable cutter, the wire cutter, mm-hmm. Cord cutter, this one, the cord cutter movement always had at its core, as its core promise, as did cloud computing, as its core promise that you're going to save money because you're going to only pay for what you use. You're not going to have to pay for a bunch of channels that you never watch.
And here we are, and it's exactly what we have.
Exactly.
If you're into podcasting, you're getting out. Yes, you don't have to pay. The app is free. I want to repeat it again because we had the meeting. The app is free. However, you're going to get ads. And I find ads, I grew up in advertising. I've built huge company in advertising. I started a lot of internet advertising, even some of the models. Gosh, do I enjoy not having to do it? And do I enjoy listening to podcasts that I don't have to listen to it? And I'm happy I'm so willing to part with some of my money for it. It's just at the end of the month, I want to be paying $30 for just the things I listen to. That's what I want to do.
Absolutely. And there's no way to do that within this subscription model. I mean, there's just not a way to do that. But I mean, because what always happens with a subscription model is you sign up, you get to this threshold where you're like, okay, I'm doing this fill in the blank activity a lot, car wash, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, okay, and you, or you're using an app a lot. Okay, I'll do the $10 a month subscription. And then you never, and then your usage plummets. And then yeah. like a month and a half, and then like 3 months later, you're like, I'm still paying for this.
And then it like, becomes an actual annoyance.
It does. And then you have to go get out of it.
Exactly. You know, I got a note from a producer today. I think we probably won't discuss it on No Agenda for a whole bunch of reasons. He's in India and he was trying to make a donation through PayPal, and PayPal said, we don't allow this to this country.
Weird.
And Dvorak went to go look, and apparently this is some Visa has, you know, Visa, MasterCard, they're the ultimate guys behind all the payment systems. They are doing some of their, there's some like digital payment between India and the US, and they're ramping that up and rolling it out. And so they just decide, okay, we're going to cut off PayPal, use this or don't.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, and that's going to affect Patreon. It's going to affect all kinds of stuff, all kinds of people. Yeah.
Oh man, that's messed up. Okay. I mean, and that, yeah, that's just you, if you, well.
So the bottom line, value for value is the model we're thinking of.
Yeah, definitely. Getting out of that chain.
Yep.
Do ISO 3.
Okay, I can already see by the title it's going to be funny.
I don't know, sales or whatever.
that's the model? That's how they're going to make money? Sales or whatever?
Yeah, basically.
I don't know, sales or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, like I say, I have nothing against any podcast doing what they need to do and taking the money and run. But, you know, I mean, I think they're going to have a wake up call. They're going to have a wake up call at some point when the audience just drops off.
Well,
I mean, you know,
when they are ready to just break up with Spotify. We will welcome them with open arms. Because
yeah, and we'll leave it on the index.
Of course we will. They can pick it right up. No problem. We'll like be here for you. Come on like back.
They were never gone.
Never.
What else? I got so much stuff written down. But
yeah, what's on your paper, man? What else you
we're
got?
We're like 2 hours.
I'm sure you got some stuff that's at the top of the pile we can do before we get out of here.
On the namespace front, let's just say this. And this is a good follow up to what we just talked about. What people need to understand is that the big players in the podcast industry, the Google, the Apple, the Spotify, those guys, they are not trying to preserve independent podcasting.
No.
At best, what they're doing is they're using it as sort of a AAA for Major League Baseball. They're looking out there and seeing who they want to bring up to the major leagues. They don't care. And the reason this is related to the namespace is because there's this feeling within that I pick up on a lot. There's this feeling within players in the industry that in the amongst podcast hosts and that kind of thing, that we need everybody at the table. Like this, the namespace and the specs won't work because Apple and Google and Spotify, not everybody is represented. But the problem is those guys don't care.
They don't care. They don't care about you at all. They're nice guys. I know the Apple guys. They're nice guys. They actually, as human beings, of course they care. They've bent over backwards for me. They've promoted. They've been so kind. But they know that Apple is not them. And Apple is a corporation. The corporation has a mission. It's sent by whoever, often driven by the shareholders. And they know. And I don't take it personally. And, you know, they're hiring people. They're going to be doing exclusive shows. It's obvious.
And they have to do it that way. Yeah, it's their business.
And they're going to do, you know, payments and stuff. I'm sure they have it all figured out. If anyone should be considering a closed system, it's Apple. I don't think they've had a huge success with Apple TV Although it was interesting. The only, I wanted to watch Trump Card, the documentary, which is Dinesh D'Souza. It's obviously very pro-Trump. Everyone else is stupid. But I got to watch everything. So it was only available on Apple TV. It was not available on Netflix, not available on Amazon.
That's strange. That's odd.
Because politics, man, that comes into play. But good on Apple for having that available. But, you know, I don't know if it's been such a huge... I mean, their idea... the biggest idea they've had for iTunes and for their music store and their app store has been, Apple One or whatever, their 24-hour-a-day radio station, which, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But you know, you see it that, you know, they have Apple TV became Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Apple News became Apple News Plus subscription.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just makes sense that Apple Podcasts are going to, at some point, become Apple Podcast Plus.
Of course. Exactly. And it's gonna, with a plus. You're right. Put a plus on it.
They're going to stick a price on it, and there's going to be exclusive shows that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because they have to. Spotify, Apple, and Google are locked in a three-way battle.
Mm-hmm.
For exclusivity in the podcasting space.
Yeah.
And they just don't, they could care less about a podcast namespace that gives, that gives Captivate some extra tags they can use. Like that's just like an annoyance. Why would they even care about that?
Again,
but it is important to everybody else.
We'll take our 40% of the market and we'll grow.
Yeah.
And the talent is out there. The talent is ready, willing, and able. And the only thing they're being lured with is sparkly things.
Huh.
It is. It's sparkly things. So we have work to do. We have a namespace to implement. And there's that's all part of preserving podcasting as a platform for free speech. We don't want anything cut off somewhere that we don't have control over it. And phase two. I think we're going to have a great time figuring out how to pump value through this ecosystem, hosting, apps, index, podcasters, listeners. That's a very powerful combination. And I'll say it again. You're going to see people coming back to us in the future.
Yeah.
It's just going to it's going to be a hell of a lot more fun. And we smell better over here.
We smell
good smell a bunch of people.
The healthcare is not nearly
healthcare
as good.
Healthcare sucks, but man, do we smell good.
Well, that one thing that people can do right now for value is make contact with other hosting platforms.
Yes.
And make sure that they are aware of the locking of the transfer lock tag specifically, but the namespace more generally, because the transfer locking thing, I think, will drive adoption a lot. And I think other people need to know about that. So if you have connections with Captivate, Transistor, Fireside, all the other guys, just make contact and make sure. A lot of them are, I'm sure they already know because of James Cridlin is like singing this thing from the rooftops. Yeah,
and if anybody knows anybody over at Anchor, let's just make sure that...
Anchor, yeah.
Yeah, hey, man, just implement that because... You know, it's obvious because of their size, they're an obvious target to be abused for this. So, we've made it easy for you.
Yeah, I like the way that I like putting it that way because I think that I don't think that Anchor wants, they don't want bad press.
No.
People are abusing their platform is what is happening.
We're helping them out more than anybody else.
But so this is a solution to their problem.
All right. So we'll focus on that. Maybe James will write about it. That always seems to help.
Yeah. I think he said he was going to.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah. And also get app. What we need is more. One thing we need in the podcast index.social is more native app developers. So if you have a contact with like Podcast Addict, I think Tom said he was going to make contact with
him. Addict is already, they've already put the index as a search option now, I think.
Yeah. And so did AntennaPod.
Right.
They both did.
Yeah. That's kind of the first toe in the water. I like that.
Yeah. And it's a great way to do it too, because all you're doing is you're saying, okay, well, it's a backup search in case Apple's down. You got this one.
Yeah. Or if you don't like the results, maybe you'll get something different from us.
Yeah, exactly. And you get it in a different order or whatever, you know.
And if you don't like the search results and it's your app, jump on the server, the Mastodon server, tell us what you'd like. See if we can make it better for you. No black box.
And the Mastodon is like a freaking hive mind, man. It's crazy. Like I said the other day, I'm like, I need some code for such and such because I'm busy. If somebody could give me like a function. And I had like four in like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that was the timing, the aggregator timing code, I think it was.
Yeah, I was like, I know what I want.
Yeah, it was a mathematical thing. And got that in my hollow tooth here. Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, like, just like, yeah, boom, 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 boom. So, yeah, we're done. We're done with that one. But it's a beautiful place. I mean, they just read each other's minds all the time.
To wrap it up, podcastindex.org, if you've never heard of us or this is brand new to you, and from there you'll see a little menu. You can join as a developer. Also, if you are just interested in contributing to the conversation, you don't have to be a developer. You can be a former VJ, can be anything. If you're interested in podcasting, moving things forward, podcastindex.social is a great place to speak up and let us know what we can do. And on that note, is there anything I can do for you, Dave?
You can play ISO 2.
I'm like, do you need servers? Do you need massages? No, ISO 2 it is.
All we do is talk about me.
Wow. Maybe this should stay on Spotify. I'm not sure.
No, I'm good, man. I'm all good. Right. Okay. I'm feeling good.
All right, brother. Hey, have yourself a great weekend, Dave.
Yeah, you too, man.
And of course, we'll see each other on, I'm sure we'll see each other on the Index over the weekend. That's it for the show, everybody. Take it easy. Bye, Dave.
See ya.
Bye now.